stimulus program in the world. Jeremy Corbett.com around the dining room table. The way radio began 100 years ago, I remind you. Dr. John Rooney is still with me, and Les Elikas is here. I want to introduce you to Peter Cox. Peter Cox is the go-to person for any question on the media. And there are a few questions around on the media today, Peter. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Jeremy.
Nice to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
This stuff with Channel 9 is just amazing. They're sort of putting it down to, culture or an expose. I mean, somebody must be reporting all of this stuff for it to be leaked out. How embarrassing that the newspaper, The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald have to do the reporting. You'd have to be a bit schizophrenic to do that.
Absolutely. Look, the first thing is, Jeremy, you and I have been in this industry a long time, and we know that this has been endemic in the Nine organisation in particular, and more recently in the Seven organisation. The 9-1 going back to the days of the Packers, Sam Chisholm, David Leckie, were all very powerful, harassing, bullying type executives. And that culture went right through the organisation. And I'm surprised to find it's still at such a high level in today's world.
Yeah. But why was it quiet for so long? All this stuff, this scandal that's out today, making front page news in their own newspapers, somebody must have been keeping a lid on it for quite some time.
Oh, look, as a, we've always known about it. Anybody who's worked in the industry has always been aware of it. I mean, I think there's some amazing statistics in this report. And to give Nine, full support, they have published this report. They've put it out for everybody to see. And when you actually read through the numbers, it's absolutely devastating, right? Now, most of this report is about the broadcast division, which is television in our language, right? And in the broadcast division, 62% had experienced or witnessed abuse of power or authority. Well, I've done seen that many times in Nine. And 57% of broadcast employees had experienced bullying, discrimination or harassment. Now, I thought, therefore, as most of the report is about the broadcast division, that was it. But they actually have a page of comparisons. And to the other sectors of Nine Entertainment, which is a very big organisation, and corporate. So if I just take sexual harassment, in corporate it's 47%, in radio 49%. Digital, surprisingly, 38% in digital, sales 41%. Publishing, which is the old Fairfax, 43%, and Stan at 55%. So this doesn't only apply to the broadcast section, but it's right across the organisation. Right? And the second figure that really stands out to me is when they look at the sexual harassment part of it in broadcast, which is about 30%, about a third, right? The industry rate is, according to this report, 64% of people in the broadcast industry have complained or have claimed that sexual harassment is an issue. And the national average for all industries is 33%. These are enormous figures to my way of thinking.
Is it because the industry somehow feels itself privileged, or it just has access as it would have in the old days with the old casting couch?
Well, it does, and we both know it came from that. And as I said at the opening, I thought that the organisation would have grown out of that. But, of course, the example with the news chief there was a modern-day version of it. One of the things that I think people are upset about, I believe, in Nine, is they're not publishing a list of who these offenders were or are, right? Now, obviously, that would mostly be for legal reasons that they're not publishing that. But, yes, they don't get to declare how many of these people are still left in the organisation and still presenting these problems.
Peter, look, less I look at the table with Jeremy, one of the things in the report that wasn't clear to me is that they were recognised something like towards 1,000 complaints. Now, I'm not sure if that's 1,000 complaints singularly or 1,000 complainants, but that's one issue in itself. But the other thing that wasn't necessarily identified clearly is that, from what I read, the offenders aren't necessarily, as we might think, all males. There's also female offenders attached to all this, and Jeremy and I were talking about that this morning, that females can be even worse offenders than what males are in these circumstances. And the issue that really perplexes me is that the offenders, it seems to me there's going to be a veil put over them, that they're not going to be exposed. So that leaves it then to the people who are the recipients of the offenders to actually maybe potentially take out class actions now that this has been recognised as actually occurring.
Look, and as you say, that's a very good point that you raise, and class action could come out of this. And the other interesting one was, and look, women will hate me for saying this, but a lot of women, when going up in organisations, actually prefer to have male bosses than have female bosses, right? I think one of the things that's come out of the female revolution, etc., has been that women aren't necessarily all supportive of other women, right? And that's why the reading on the sexual harassment and on the female side is, again, surprisingly high, isn't it?
Yeah, but the strange thing to me is that I cast my mind back to the time when I was working full-time in television.
Yeah.
At Channel 10. It was back in Les Ed's day, and, Peter Skelton. It was a very gentlemanly place. I don't remember anything going on. It was questionable, salacious, or... maybe it was just an innocent time, I don't know, or maybe I was just too naive and it was going on all around me and I didn't recognise it, I don't know.
No, it is.
I think in television, however, you can tell that, for example, the news desk, it's very competitive and very combative, and there are people who might be a reporter, you know, out on the street, or a weather person, they actually really want to aspire to be behind the desk in front of the limelight. It's not just the issue of remuneration, it's also the issue of developing your career and
climb the ladder.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So it's an industry that's designed to be, particularly when you look at ratings and the way these organisations are measured, because the ratings are the all important, to be an end all.
Yeah.
These people need to keep fighting.
Well, there's money, there's ego, there's opportunity, there's glamour, all of the ingredients there that would cause people to think that, you know, they could just have their own rules, make it up as they go.
Look, I started out in television in 76 with Michael Willacy for 4 years, when that his program made the Seven Network the winning network for those 4 years. But after that, after 1980, Channel 9 was the top rating television network for the next 30 years after that, right?
Yes.
And that is huge power that they have. And they were particularly strong in news and sport, right? Two areas that I think, you know, we're just seeing the example with the football club in Western Sydney now at the moment. So, yes, look, these are long-term factors. I think the other thing to look at is what are they saying for the future? And if you read that section, and that goes for long pages, I haven't read every one, I have to say that, but the recommendations... to use a friend of mine who's a bit of a Kamala opponent, word salad. There's every possible word that must be in the dictionary for anything to do with this area of human behaviour is used in the report. And you have to look at it and think, now, how much of this is actually going to be done in and Is it still going to go on occurring in the future?
Have you ever seen a story or a scandal like this in the industry before?
Well, Seven have had a terrible run for the last couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah, but this one seems to have gone from television to the newspapers to every facet, every division of their organisation.
Absolutely. So, you know, that is well worth reading. I think it's page 8 of the report for anybody who wants to go on the internet and look it up. There is a great comparison sheet there for them. So, look, the report is interesting to read. And, as I keep saying, yes, I think we saw particularly the power, the bullying, the discrimination and the harassment area been prevalent forever in the Nine organisation. And to some
degree, do you think this will hurt them?
The individuals? Well, the worst offenders.
They haven't named the individuals, but as a corporation, will it hurt the tarnish their reputation to the point where it'll affect the cash register?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think that, you know, this story, we have the 24-hour news cycle, as you well know, Jeremy. This will move on over a couple of days. I think the board has done the right thing. It's an excellent report. I don't think any of us could disagree with that. Now the proof is going to be in the pudding, isn't it, as to what they do about it in the future.
And what was the catalyst? What was the thing that made them commission the report in the first place and then have the guts to publish it?
Yes, well, that was because of the head of the news division and all the problems that he created, right?
And then
the women started coming out of the cupboard and complaining, and then others got the strength, and it's built up, you know.
It's a fascinating industry, Peter. Fascinating industry.
It is, Jeremy. And look, let's hope that this is the start of a better future for the industry. Because, you know, I think we do all want, you know, to have the major things that they're looking for, which is, you know, a safe work environment, respectful attitude, and inclusive of all forms of diversity, etc. And,
yes,
you know, it'll be interesting to see if they do that. But, you know, when you look at the figures here, if it was bad overall, as you go through with broadcast, you know, 62%, and bullying, discrimination or harassment, 57%, you know, it must. If us guys are repulsed by it, well, how was it for the women who had to survive through those periods?
Yeah, that'd be very, very good. And can I make the comment to everyone that from the victim's point of view, the only way that they'll move forward and heal and feel comfortable in the future, particularly if they're still employed in that organisation, will be that the perpetrators are held to account. Until that happens, the victims will not be at peace.
You are absolutely correct, and I think that will be the major shortcoming of this exercise.
Surely the board would come in and say, OK, well, we haven't for legal reasons, named names, but we have reasonable grounds upon which this is... Have suspicions about these people, we will get rid of them.
And particularly when you see, as you said, what one of you said earlier, that there's been so many complaints that it's not just a one-off or an occasional one, right?
Very good to talk to you, Peter.
Very well. Very nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Peter Cox, ladies and gentlemen.